from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Primetime, an SOB edition. Sue, Ortner, and Buckley with you here on Monday. Coming up later this hour, Will has the stock watch coming up next. We'll get to in the news with a couple of sword news stories. Also, a little bit later in the show, how a crap storm cost France $1.5 billion and one-upped the poop-filled Willamette. We'll do an Olympics roundup as well. But right now, I wanted to talk a little more NFL with you, and we'll talk about some of the big names in just a moment, but there was one piece of audio today that I needed your opinion on, and yours too, Will. You may have differing opinions. Do you remember the secret Bajent man, Tyson Bajent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bears backup.
Bears backup quarterback.
He got
Division III cat, right?
Division
D2.
D2. And he was also like going to be like a professional CrossFitter if he didn't get a gig in the NFL. He's this like crazy hardo workout bro. And he's coming back as a backup for the Bears once again.
He is their backup.
He is their backup, so we're going to see him in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. But he was asked at a recent media availability about competition for the backup job, and he gave an answer that I was not prepared for. There's going to be a lot to unpack here. We'll just let it rip here.
I didn't really think too much about it. I was too busy grinding my absolute face off in the off season. But whatever they were going to do, you know, that's completely up to them. I can't control that. But I was just excited to come back. Whoever was going to be in the QB room was going to be in the QB room. Nothing was going to change on my end though. Like you said, it feels good to know that they have some, you know, that they have confidence in me and that, you know, that they like what I was able to do last year, and hopefully they're being able to see the strides that I've made in the offseason and going into year two.
What was the hardest grinding your face off thing that you did?
June 19th, shout out to my best friends, Derek Gallagher, 1 mile burpee broad jump. Hour and 7 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Let's go.
Is that burpee for a mile?
Burpee broad jump. Burpee broad jump. 1 mile.
How many calories do you burn out?
I don't know. I ate a lot after that. It was nice.
What would you eat afterwards? Where'd you go after that?
I went to Betty's. Shout out to Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Went to Betty's restaurant. I think I just got 6 eggs and bacon with some toast. I might not be getting better necessarily at football when I'm doing a workout like that. However, just the mental edge that it gives me, finding out, you know, what I can endure versus what the next man can endure, in a sense gives me a little mental edge when I show up to things like this and people start complaining about our schedule. I can kind of have somewhere in the back of my head that I've done things far worse than this. that I can handle really kind of anything that's thrown at me and be able to just keep the main thing the main thing, let it flow off the shoulders and just kind of, you know, react to what happens next. So,
so pretty cool, pretty stupid, or somewhere in between doing the broad jump burpee mile, grinding your absolute face off?
Somewhere in between. Again, I don't know. And he was honest about it. I love that it doesn't make you a better football player, but I mean, I don't know why you would ever need. I've heard of people doing this, by the way. Right when he said burpee mile, I was like, oh, I've heard of this.
I was not familiar. That's, I mean, like you said, it took that person or took him an hour and 7 minutes to complete it.
I don't even want to know how long it would take me, and I would quit because that's just silly. Yeah, you do a burpee, and then on your way up, instead of jumping up, you jump out. And you have to do that for a mile? That's,
I mean, how quick you're getting burned out on that. Like,
oh, I'm sure you have to. Well, I mean, he did
my broad jump would be about 4 inches by the time.
I mean, he did it in an hour, you know, an hour or whatever. So, I mean, I, like, hey, whatever you need to find your motivation, like, to be fitness bro, I mean, that is baffling. Again, doesn't make you a better quarterback, but I do think that there was some truth to what he said of, like, some sort of intestinal fortitude. Although, I don't think you really need that sort of fortitude to play quarterback in the NFL. Like, it's not really a...
Or for you to be tough enough to make it through whatever limited practices you're having to do in training camp.
That has nothing to do with playing quarterback. That dude is just obsessed. He said he was going to be a professional CrossFitter.
And I like his vibe. Yeah. I mean, he's just like a hardo workout bro. I think his dad was into bodybuilding before
His dad's like a world record holder arm wrestler.
Oh, there it is. Yeah,
so
yeah,
The dad was always on the sidelines like wanting to arm wrestle people. His dad is super, super tough guy.
Yeah, this guy was a big deal when I was playing. He's the same graduating class as me. I believe he might be a year after me, but he was a big deal in D2 circles. Like, everyone talked about Bajent. He was, like, the whole reason his team was good. It wasn't a traditionally, like, talented team. But this is also why he's there. Like, yeah, he's a little bit stupid, but he's also not afraid to work hard.
Yeah, and,
right?
And you need that.
And that's why he's there. He's not there because he's superior in talent.
I got, like, a bunch of
works hard.
I got a bunch of people in my family that on the smart side of the family that are all doctors. It's stupid. My aunt's, like, 9 kids are all PhD MDs. You're like, holy crap, like, the smartest people in the world. And they tell you all the time that, like, half of medical school is just proving that you can grind through things,
right?
You know, and like that's just,
and you hear some of the same things about law school as well. Being able to get through the literature, pass the bar, like, that may be actually harder than the practicing of the law or the applying of the medicine. Like, can you prove that you can balance
same thing? Special forces training, like, in the military, the Navy SEALs, like, hell week. It's just, how far can you push yourself? And you know, I don't think that many people in the NFL could do or be willing to do that. And that doesn't mean he's going to be a good NFL quarterback, but it does mean that you're a tough son of a bitch. And you know what? There is something to NFL teams like people that are tough. Tough guys, the whole toxic masculinity thing gets a bad rep every now and then, and I get it, but sometimes you need tough guys in this world. That makes me like him a little bit more. Ridiculous, but it makes me like him a little bit more. Somewhere Asachi, by the way, thinks that's the biggest idiot in the world.
He thinks that me and Tyson would be best friends.
Yes. Uh-huh. Rob hates anything that is physically challenging. Rob would just sit there and be like, why?
Why would I do that? Why would I go on a hike?
Yeah, Rob doesn't want to go on a hike. This dude's doing a burpee mile. And by the way, of all the physical things you can do, that sounds like one of the worst.
It sounds like hell.
That you could possibly do.
There's no chance I'd do it. No chance.
I couldn't. My quads would give out. It wouldn't happen. I might make it one time around the track, maybe.
And I've done a beer mile. Like, I'm not doing
it. I'd have an easier time doing a beer mile than a burpee mile. No question.
The closest thing that I've ever done to this is we did a half mile tire flip.
Oh.
Which is nowhere near as bad as this.
But that sounds pretty brutal.
But I've done the half mile, 2 laps on the tire flip. And you could do a mile. I mean, look, it sucked. And again, depends on how big the tire was. It's not like we were flipping a 900-pound you know, tire. But it was a big, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how heavy it was. But it was a big-ass, you know, it was a big-ass tractor tire. And we did it for half a mile. And, oh, I don't know. That was, I mean, it took a while. It's not something you do in 10 minutes. But the burpee thing sounds way, way worse, but it's all that. It's an endurance test. And, you know, you get guys like at BYU, we had to hike the Y, you know, we had to run up a mountain or the Walter Payton, and lots of guys had different weird training modalities.
Sure.
Steve Blake used to do triathlons, like, in the off season. That was his thing for the Blazers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did, he did triathlons and like what Dame does, boxing workouts and stuff. And
yeah, me and Dame are just alike. I did a boxing workout this weekend too.
lots of dudes that like to push themselves. I just is one that I will not, at 46 years old or at 26 years old, I will not be doing a burpee mile.
Well, I can't recall Jim Harbaugh's exact age, but speaking of football hardos.
Locked, cocked, ready to rock.
Did you see what he was doing at the end of last week at Chargers camp? How he was strapped in, pulling his lineman on a sled, like pushing backwards. Did you see this at all?
What? Yeah. Harbaugh was?
You know how he does the stuff where he wears the cleats and he goes out shirtless and he chucks the ball around?
I thought he had gone beyond that because he's kind of old now and fat.
Well, that's actually good for you. You're supposed to walk backwards with the sled. It helps your knees.
Let's see. I'm sure I can find this for you. And maybe we'll have to do it in the break.
I see it here, the workout video.
where he's basically like, he's in a stance and he's pulling a big dude on a sled with a rope around his waist. Like he's pulling him.
He's doing knees over toes. All right.
That is a workout plan that I have purchased.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really good for your knees. It helped save me.
Nice. Jim Harbaugh out there. God bless Jim Harbaugh. If any coach in the NFL would be doing some sort of weird sled pull, it indeed would be Jim Harbaugh. I've talked about this. The evolution of Jim Harbaugh is the strangest thing because however many years ago when he was at Stanford, which is like probably what, 15 years ago? It's been a long time.
Yeah, that's about right.
When he was first at Stanford, like I remember going down to Pac-12 media days and like Jim Harbaugh was like a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was jacked. Hadn't been done playing for that much time.
He was like the all-American boy all grown up.
Yeah, just looked like a president. Should be the governor of California, right? Great hair, like just dialed in, great suit. And you've just watched him over the years just morph into like, he's morphed into his dad.
Yeah, it's true.
So now he just wears like khakis and cleats. And like he stopped like trying to comb his hair. He wears a hat all the time. And he's got like a boiler now. And like when he was shirtless, like working out with his guys, he's just white as can be.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't care.
And he's got some moves happening. It's just weird to see the evolution of Jim Harbaugh from where he was.
And I'm sure he didn't care a ton of, or he did. He still didn't care a ton about his image back then, but he cares nothing about his image now.
It's great.
It's all football all the time.
I like him out there. Like he's
I do too.
He's got to be what, in his 60s?
He is.
How old is Jim Harbaugh?
60 on the dot.
60 on the dot. He's out there pulling a sled with a lineman on it. All right.
Yeah.
Way to go, Jim Harbaugh. Get out there, get it done. I remember like once when Chip Kelly was like running routes. With his receivers. Speaking of a guy too, that's also kind of let itself go over the years.
Well, generous.
I give you Chip. Yeah, the story goes is that when Chip first got to Oregon and he was interviewing for the job, like before the interview, he was like down running routes with the receivers. And I'm like, I don't think Chip's running many routes nowadays.
No, I don't think so either. The one athletic highlight I remember seeing from Chip, I think it was his first year in Philly where they were all going to like go hop in a pool and Chip did like a big old swan dive in there ahead of all the players. I'm like, wow, Chip actually looks a little bit athletic.
There's always one coach that still thinks he can play or like challenge players to fights. When I was, when I was in Denver, we had Keith Millard, was one of our defensive line coaches. And Keith Millard played in the NFL for a bunch of years, if you don't know the name. But he was a really good lineman in the NFL for years. And Keith Millard still thought he could play and would actively like try to fight people. Mike Tice was like this. Mike Tice was an NFL tight end.
Mike Tice.
And I had a couple of buddies of mine that played in Minnesota that like Mike Tice would actively challenge guys.
It was like the Tom Cable thing too, right? Uh-huh.
Like Tom Cable was like slapping guys. Like
there's punching other coaches.
There's always one coach that hasn't been able to give it up and still thinks like he's going to go out there. Bronco Mendenhall was a coach at BYU for a while, and he would challenge guys to workouts. He was like one of those workout warrior dudes. So always that one old man that still is like, I'm going to show these young whippersnappers what's up. I'm going to get out there and pull my old man sled. So always that one guy.
Well, we got to move. We've got Stockwatch coming up next. What we're buying and selling from the weekend that was. It's next on Primetime.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
1080 The Fan.
It's primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
It is Stock Watch time. We will allow William J. Ortner. What's the middle initial?
P.
William P. Ortner. Patrick?
Yes.
That's my middle name as well. How about that? Will, what do you have for us on the Stock Watch?
This
That was a Victor Robles home run there. You got that from Root Sports Northwest. Buy or sell with the moves the Mariners have made at the MLB trade deadline. They will make the playoffs.
I'll buy that. I think that, I mean, I was pretty down on them with the slide that they were having, and they had to do something. I was not confident that DePoto would, but he's been more than active, more active than I thought he would be. They've got some real professional hitters that they've added to that roster. Their pitching staff, as we talked to Ryan Divish on Friday, easily one of the best in Major League Baseball, and I think that staff alone gives you a chance. If the offense really does see an uptick from these guys, and I think it should, yeah, I think they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think it's a guarantee. I mean, the one thing they've had, with the exception of one starter, they've been extremely healthy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that scares me, is that in Major League Baseball, pitching health, I mean, look around. I mean, from the Rangers to the Astros, I mean, it's just pitchers don't stay healthy. And the Mariners have been extremely healthy. So as long as the starting pitching doesn't go down and you have a massive injury, I know Wu had the little bout, but outside of that, been very healthy. Yeah, I think it's a playoff team. Should have been a playoff team last year. It was a playoff team the year before. It's a good roster.
Yeah.
It just can't hit.
It's a solid roster, and now they got a boost, we think.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, you know, the two guys you went out and got, one's a like an all-time just proven hitter. I mean, Justin Turner is, he's 39 years old, but Justin Turner, I think he's hitting the, what, 250, which probably puts you, what, first or second on the damn Mariners. And then Arozarena, like, he's a good hitter that is, that's a proven playoff performer. I like what they did. So they're going to be in this with the Astros down to the stretch. But yeah, as long as the pitching holds up, I think this is a playoff team.
Well, it's interesting to hear you talk about pressure, to hear him say that word several times, because that's actually what I think he needs to continue playing well under. Literally, I'm speaking, not of the metaphorical pressure, but how good he was when he had pass rushers in his face. And that was probably the biggest distinction, Laura, between the first and second halves of the season. The second half of the season, Jordan Love was elite in a number of categories. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But what really stood out to me watching him was his play under pressure.
That's Mina Kimes on ESPN's NFL Live talking about Jordan Love. Jordan Love got paid over the weekend. He's now tied with Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow as the highest paid QBs in the NFL per average annual value. Buy or sell, Love's contract is going to be looked at as a win-win for the Packers and for Love when the contract expires.
That is tough just because it's such a small sample size.
Yeah.
Now, he was not good at the beginning of the year. Far from it. And then he got it pointed in the right direction and, you know, he beat Dallas in the playoffs and looked pretty good against San Francisco to the end where he kind of had the meltdown. And so there's just such a small sample size. But, you know, the contract isn't going to be some albatross. Like, this is just the going rate. Yeah, it's the richest contract in NFL history, but until the next guy signs, you know, and when the next group of quarterbacks. So as the salary cap comes up, this is not going to be one of those where you look at it and be like, oh my God, look how much money he's making. This is just the nature of the beast. And it's only a couple million more per year than Tua and a handful of those other guys. So I struggle with this one. I like Jordan Love. I think there's a lot of tools to like. I think he has a very good coach. I love the Packers roster. So, yes, I think this will be a win-win because I think he will continue to get better. I am not 100% sold because of the small sample size. That is a lot of money to bet on someone over basically 8 games, including a playoff game against Dallas, who always melts down. But I get why they did it. And so by a hair, I will say this turns out to be a good thing from Green Bay's and Jordan Love's standpoint.
Yeah, I think I'm also with you barely on the buy side here. We were talking before the show about how it seems like the contracts, especially for the stars or the stars of starting positions in the NFL, it's just get in line, wait your turn, and then sign whatever the number is, and then let that thing cycle back around again. And so I don't know that this is necessarily indicative that he's one of the best three quarterbacks or anything like that. And I think that just kind of being in line with the schedule, in the long term, I don't think this will hurt the Packers, even if they want to move off of him. It's not going to cost him too much. But like you, I don't know enough or haven't seen enough of Love being really good to know that he's worth it, but I think with what they've seen, you probably had to make this play rather than try to reset on that. So yeah, I'll go with win-win more than it's a one of the sides loses, but it's still dicey because of how little we know.
The best thing you have going with Jordan Love is the rest of the roster is babies and on rookie
deals.
So you got a couple years where the giant contract for Love isn't going to kill you because everyone else is cheap. The problem will come in a couple years when you start signing some of your own talent. And then we've also seen this plenty of times where a guy has a breakout season or a breakout stretch, and we're like, hey, this is the next great thing, and he falls off a map. This is a big, big year for Jordan Love to prove that this was not an 8-game fluke, because I don't know if we've ever seen someone get paid on a shorter sample than what you're seeing right now from Jordan Love, and he certainly got paid.
Yeah.
Guard to center, and to him. They lose 5. They're back to 3rd and 15. Here they go. Here they come. And on the move, Tagovailoa throws. It's caught by Berrios in front of Davis. He got the ball. What a catch at the 36.
The other quarterback that got paid over the weekend, I guess he got paid early on Friday, Tua Tagovailoa, buy or sell. The Dolphins will win the AFC East this year.
No, I still think that's the Bills. And by the way, it may be the Jets. I know it's weird. I think they're the third best team I'm not sold on their defense. Everyone they have coming back as a pass rusher is coming off a major injury. So I'm just not sold. They got a lot of money tied up into it, got a lot of money tied up into receivers, and they're certainly explosive, but I've seen nothing that shows any sort of real guts from Miami, especially when you're dealing with some of the places they're going to have to go play at the end of the year. Think about Buffalo, think about New York, obviously come playoff time when they had to go to Kansas City. And that doesn't necessarily mean winning the division, because that was in the playoffs. But I think that division is very, very competitive outside of the Patriots, who are terrible. But if I'm doing power rankings, someone's got to knock off the Bills before I'm ready to say that the Bills are going to fold over, you know, roll over simply because they lost some receivers. And the Jets are going to be, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, the Jets are going to be good. So I actually put the Dolphins third. No, I don't think they win that division.
This division for me is probably the toughest one to call in football. I do think there are three teams that could potentially win it. I'm not particularly impressed with what the Bills have done to their roster. I feel like they, from a personnel standpoint, may have slipped just a little bit. I'm not convinced that Rodgers, one, can play healthy, or two, can get in sync with that team, even though all the parts are there for that to potentially happen. I like the offense that Mike McDaniel runs. I obviously think that offense can carry you a long way in today's NFL. Outside shot, yeah, I'm buying. I think the Dolphins can win the division. I would probably like them to win the division, and not like preference-wise, but I would probably pick them to win the division over the other three teams.
One defeat in their last 31 games. Haran, lovely pass, and a finish to match. Mallory Swanson returning to the international stage.
That's a goal there by Mallory Swanson in the first game of the U.S. Women's National Team soccer run. Buy or sell what NBC has been able to do with the Peacock, with USA Network, with their own primetime coverage. You are all in on Team USA and the Olympics for the next 2 weeks.
No, I haven't been all in on the Olympics for years. I enjoy the Olympics. I think they're a fun little distraction. To me, the Olympics have lost a lot of the luster. I mean, it was Mark Cuban came out and just said that the Olympics are now just about making money. Please stop trying to make this a patriotic thing. That's why he said NBA players shouldn't play in it. The purity of the games, yes, like the water polo team, right? They're having to work three or four jobs, but you know, and so there's an element to that where those women out there for the U.S. water polo team are grinding and trying to win an Olympic gold. But you know, for a lot of these people, it's a professional sport. Every 4 years, we're supposed to care about it. My patriotism is supposed to be wrapped around it. It's a lot for me. I enjoy the Olympics. I have nothing against the Olympics, but no country wants to host this anymore because it's billions of dollars that really should go towards other things. It's a huge cash grab for people that are in the construction game. Most of these facilities end up decrepit,
yep, and totally defunct.
And totally, you know, just a waste for communities that can't afford it. So I've lost a lot of the shine for me has come off the Olympics. So all in, no. I like rooting for the United States. I can get behind certain stories that get presented to me and can root for individuals. But, you know, in general, for me, growing up, the Olympics was a much bigger deal. Like, I remember the Barcelona games in 92, the Olympic triple cast and all that on pay-per-view. I remember being all in on that. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's left the stable, and I don't think it's ever coming back. I don't think you can really get that feeling, because you know when you watch the Olympics now, yes, winning a gold medal is important, but for those athletes, it's more about winning a gold medal and then getting as many sponsorship deals as you can so that you can support yourself for the rest of your life.
Yeah, support what you've chosen to train for all that time.
Don't fault anyone with that. Make as much money as you can, but don't try to act like somehow because it's an Olympic sport that it's a more noble.
Yeah.
That's the one that kind of bugs me. It's like, well, they're a gymnast, therefore it's pure. No, it's not. Believe me, if every one of those athletes could cash in the way an NFL player or an NBA player
did, they would do that.
They would do the same thing. It's not more noble. It's just that's what they have to do because no one cares about your sport other than for 2 weeks every 4 years. So it's good. It's fine. But, you know, don't call me less patriotic if I'm not out doing laps when our 4x100 meter team, you know, doesn't win gold or whatever. Stop that.
Yeah, for me, I'll sell it as well. For me, the heyday of the Olympics was the 90s. I don't remember the 92 quite as well. I was seven, but I definitely remember 94, 98, or 94, 96, 98, which I think was Lillehammer, Atlanta, and then Nagano. And then I think we had Salt Lake come up after that. That was a time where we also didn't have the internet spoiling all the different results for us as well. So I think for me, maybe the biggest barrier, and I wouldn't necessarily be all in from the patriotic standpoint. I like rooting for Team USA. I like rooting for the sports that I like. But everything is so spread out on another continent across the Atlantic that the timing gets kind of wonky. I don't really want to wait until prime time. I get the results early, but then I don't want to watch it, but I don't want to wait to watch it because I know the results are out there. So to me, it ends up being wonderful background noise for 2 weeks. I put it on in the background of everything. Yes. I watched some gymnastics today. I watched some water polo today. Over the weekend, let's see, we caught a little bit more gymnastics, some swimming over the weekend as well. So I like the games. I watched some soccer too, but it doesn't have, like, for me, like you said, it doesn't have the same luster as it used to. Don't love it.
It's a giant cash grab, and I don't like when, you know me, I don't mind cash grabs as long as you're honest about them. It's all I ever want is honesty out of things, and we got to stop with the purity of the Olympics. It's a giant cash grab. As long as you understand it's a giant cash grab with NBC and Coca-Cola and everything else, then you'll be fine. But stop trying to make it out to be, you know, the pure essence of sports, because it's not.
In a shocking development, we're way behind the clock. Will Ordner has SportsCenter in the news next.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Running just a tad behind, so we will get right to it. Today is Monday, July 29th, and it is time for In the News. I am your stand-in newsman. Hello. Your regular newsman, scheduled to be back on Tuesday.
See what happens.
It is National Lasagna Day.
I like a good lasagna. I never eat lasagna, but I wouldn't. I would never poo-poo lasagna, but I never order it.
Yeah, I also never order lasagna, but when I do have it, it's phenomenal. Sometimes I wish I came from Italian heritage just so that I had like an Italian mother making delicious Italian dishes like that all the time. Yeah. You know, the sauces that stew all simmer all day in this kitchen, stuff like that. I really do love a good lasagna.
Nothing against a lasagna. It's just one of those things that I don't encounter very often.
Well, it is also National Chicken Wing Day.
That
today,
I do encounter.
Known as the birth of the chicken wing.
Do they come out of Buffalo? Is that the whole thing?
The buffalo wing comes out of Buffalo. I don't know about the first chicken wing. It's if that was a buffalo wing or if somebody just ate the wing in something else. But I'm curious. Buffalo wing, your number one wing, or do you have a different wing that you're a fan of?
Oh, like as far as the flavor?
Because it's like it's chicken wing day, not buffalo wing. So you could have Korean, you could have jerk, you could have
barbecue. Yeah, this is going to be a controversial statement. The buffalo wing is mid.
Ooh,
like, that's you're like, not a man of the people.
Dude, that's like 15. that's like 15 down my list. If we're ordering wings, if you go to a place where you're going Fire on the Mountain, or even if you go to like, you know, Wingstop, Buffalo, like the generic ones.
Yeah, they all have 25 different choices.
Dude, I am not. Unless someone specifically is like, hey, let's get a buffalo wing. Dude, that is not going anywhere near me. We're going to go with a palm garlic. We're going to go with a Louisiana dry rub. We're going to go with a spicy Korean. A Hawaiian is delicious.
Yeah.
There's just so many. Give me a Chipotle. Give me a Chipotle barbecue. Give me a honey barbecue. Dude, give me a habanero. Give me some real heat going on there. The actual, like, Frank's Red Hot, like, buffalo wing. Look, there's nothing wrong with it. If that's what you go, if you go to some greasy spoon bar, a lot of times that's what they have. They just have wings, and that's fine. But when you've expanded my horizons to give me all the options, and you want a buffalo wing, why don't you just order a scoop of chocolate and a scoop of vanilla, you basic bitch?
Just not a man of the people. It's sad to see you fall. It's buffalo chicken wings.
So is that your number one wing, is buffalo?
Of course. I celebrated the holiday today on accident. Didn't even know.
I do like a buffalo wing. Like, I like the buffalo flavor.
The blue cheese?
It probably would not be my top. I am more of a ranch guy than a blue cheese guy.
I'm all about it. I can go either way, but given the druthers, it's blue cheese is the superior sauce. Just is.
But I think for me, probably number one is a Korean wing, like the crispy, sweet, sticky, kind of what the pok pok wing used to be.
Throw some sesame seeds on that
absolutely. Maybe even a little green onion on there.
To be honest, the Asians know what they're doing in the kitchen.
They know their way around a wing. That's
they
for
know
sure.
Their support way this country. Wing.
And then I would also take a Nashville hot chicken wing, the kind where you get the hot oil underneath the breading. Yes. Like, that's a really good wing.
If you, a nice hot honey, like you do that too with a hot honey sauce on it. Now, I have recently discovered that, like, you can just buy the hot honey sauce. Just, like, and you just, I put it on everything. It's just in my, I'm going through like three of those a month. I'll put that on anything. Made a lamb gyro the other day with some hot honey sauce on it. Let's go.
Okay. Well, let's get to some actual news. Other hot news, unfortunately, fire news. Things are bad up here in the Northwest right now.
Yeah, we're getting all burnt up.
I guess we are using about half of the country's national fire support resources right now. We have 55 large fires in the Northwest, 11 in Washington, 44 uncontained in Oregon. They've now gotten the help of the National Guard. There are about 12,000 active firefighters and support personnel who are working on this issue right now. But it's ugly, and hopefully the rain's helping a little bit.
Are we getting rains across the state?
I don't know that we are. I think that's the problem
right
now.
I doubt it in the east. The east, it never rains, even in raining season.
And so on that note, also wanted to bring up that if it weren't for the weather, we would be able to see the Aurora Borealis here in Portland again. But despite the fact that it should be visible Monday through Wednesday, we're going to get too much rain and too much clouds. They're saying you got to get east of the Cascades to be able to see it. So
I know that I'm... this is so far outside of my realm of expertise. I'm just asking, is there anything we can do? I swear to God, every year, we burn to the ground. Is there nothing? We have no options. We can't do anything.
It feels like a flip switched about 6 or 7 years ago, right? And now we can't avoid a summer without this being really horrendous.
No,
and I don't know what the
West
answer is.
In Canada, we burn to the ground. And I don't know, you know, again, I'm not going to get into the whole, you know, climate change or whatever, you know, it just feels like this is now commonplace. Like you said, every summer it's like, well, here we go. We're going to burn everything up again.
We've now eclipsed over 1 million acres burned.
I don't know what you do on the east side of the Cascades, at least for like Oregon and Washington, just because it's such a different climate. Like over here, I'm sure like if it's a rainier year, you're going to be okay. But over there, it doesn't rain nearly as much.
No, you just
and
drive,
so it's dry.
When you drive through eastern Oregon, you're driving down to Redmond or Bend or wherever, and you just look out. Just the entire landscape is just one big tinderbox. And maybe we just have too many people, and it's just a matter of time where we burn everything up. If only we would rake central Oregon. You know, just that's all we got to do is just rake central Oregon, and we'll be fine. I mean, it's just... I feel bad for everyone out there because it just year after year after year, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
A fencing foil and a samurai sword. Weapon news is next in the news.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
We'll kickstart my heart on a Monday. It is in the news for Monday, July 29th. Just a couple more stories to get to. If you ever wanted to try your hand at fencing and not building a barrier between your neighbor's yards, but the sport of fencing?
I can't say I ever have. I mean, when I was a kid, I watched Highlander a lot, but that's not really fencing.
There's a fencing studio by my parents' house.
Is that right? There's a fencing studio in Beaverton by the Hillsdale Highway. I don't know. To me, it's always been one of the oddest sports, and I've had never any desire to try it. I mean, I've wanted to, like, fight my brother with a sword when I was, like, a little kid, but nothing beyond that.
Some samurai stuff. Let's go.
But if fencing is your thing or you just want to know a little bit more about it, fencing across America in celebration of the Olympics is picking 16 spots across the country to hold fencing tutorials all week, and it includes Portland's Director Park. Huh. So if you go down there from 2 to 7 any day between now and Sunday, you can get a fencing tutorial.
Well, look, I'm not against... Like, if I was... Where is this at?
Director Park.
I don't know where that's at.
I don't either.
It's right next to Producer Park.
If I happened to be walking through studio, you know, 2D there by the producers, and someone was like, hey, do you want to learn how to fence? And I had a half hour to kill?
Give me the foil.
Yeah, whatever. I'll check this out. But would I ever actually seek out? Like, no offense to fencing. It's kind of the lamest of the sword fights.
Yeah.
Like,
you want a real duel is what you want.
Yeah, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you had one of those, I'm sure you could kill me, stab me in the eye with it. Like, I put out an eye, you wear the little thing. But look, let's be honest. It's not like It's just, it's not that cool.
It's like the hit and run sword fighting. Like, you're trying to tap and then get away. Like, it's, you're not like engaging in combat as much as like you're doing a dance, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, if you told me there was like a Viking axe like a battle, now let's go. Or like when I was in Scotland, like, you know, you got a big Scottish claymore and we're going to run around and like swing those, maybe a warhammer or something. Certainly the katana is the hierarchy of all swords. Everyone wants to be a Ronin out there doing cool ninja stuff. The fencing thing, it's French. It's kind of down the ladder a little bit. I got to wear that cowardly helmet, and I'm wearing like a unitard thing. It's like I'm from the future.
You have to wear a cup.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just not that, it's not that cool.
Like a beekeeper.
Exactly. You're like a beekeeper with like a little foil in your hand, and the thing bends a lot. I need more.
You don't want any bend on your sword, huh?
Nah. We need
it's
more.
It's gonna be stiff.
We need more stabby. You know, it's just. Like, overall, I give it two thumbs, man. But if that's your thing, hey, it's badass. And yes, I'm not one of these idiots. It's like, dude, give me a sword. Dude, I'd get lit up a million times over. But I don't care because I think your sport's kind of lame. But if that's what you love to do, more power to you, man. You do you, boo.
No indication whether this was technically a katana or not, but we do have samurai sword news.
Now we're going.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's. I'm seeing two different stories on this. One says Beaverton, one says Tualatin, but you get the idea. Somewhere on TV Highway, there was a man who was arrested after breaking into a car and then pulling a samurai sword on its owner when they confronted him.
Right.
This happened around 3:18 a.m. on Saturday morning. And witnesses called the police after that. It only took the canine unit 10 minutes to find the person who had fled after pulling the sword on the owner of the car.
Because it was the only person running down the street with a sword?
Probably.
Can you get in trouble? Like, I know you can get in trouble for pulling a gun on someone. Can you get in trouble for pulling a sword?
I would think that's still brandishing a weapon. So, like, that's very much, that's going to be a no-go.
By the way, I'm not certain, like, if you're breaking into something... Like, how terrifying is it? Like, if someone pulls, like, a sword on you, you got two trains of thoughts. Either, like, OF, this guy's been waiting for this moment his whole life.
Or this idiot thinks a sword is the best for this situation.
Yeah, I got this dunkoffed over here. Like, this nerd is thinking, you know, I'm not sure which is more terrifying. Like, someone that, like, I don't know, like, the gun obviously is the scary one. You're like, oh, this guy's got a gun. But the sword could be... the most terrifying or the most, like, just laughable thing that you could ever have pulled on.
Now, I know very little about the assailant or the alleged robber, but they did post this photo of the goods that recovered. I like his hat that just says money with dollar bills on the bill.
Oh,
that was recovered at the scene with as well as some sunglasses and a paper bag with some...
Plus, I assume that samurai sword was bought off, like, QVC, like, in the middle of the night.
I was thinking pawn shop.
Yeah, like, $19.99, and that thing's going to break the moment you swing it. But I do... And I've never actually used it for home defense. It does sit on my desk for my birthday a couple years ago. The missus got me a full on, fully functioning, razor sharp, balanced. She gave me a Viking war axe.
And
it does sit on my desk. It sits on the front of my desk, which is like when you walk into my house. Like, you just look over and there's my little office. So,
here's your sword.
So technically speaking, if I heard someone coming into the house on my
grab
way
the
down,
axe.
On my way down to confront someone, and like, I've chopped wood with this thing, you can throw it into a tree. I mean, it'll
do the trick.
It would do the trick. You may get me coming down the stairs in some undies, possibly naked if you caught me off guard, and I would be grabbing for the fully functioning Viking axe as you came through the front door.
I've never seen so much dong in my life.
I want nothing more than someone to break into your house and there's a news story where you are fully nude with an axe taking out some would-be robber.
America,
it would be fantastic.
Yeah. Just, I've never thought about it, but it does sit on my desk and it would be like, you know, that would be the first thing. Outside of my gun, which would be upstairs, the scariest thing I have in my house would be to grab that it's a big ass Viking war axe.
That is scarier than grabbing the gun. You meeting a would-be robber naked with your battle axe is definitely scarier than whatever gun you have.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if some dude pulls a sword on you and it, like, he gets in a stance like he knows what he's doing,
it indicates a level of crazy you weren't ready for.
Right? Like, that's the sort of guy that, again, he's been training for this for like 30 years and he's just like, please, please. And now you're giving him an opportunity to live out his weird Tom Cruise Last Samurai thing. And I'm like, I want nothing to do with that. Nothing at all.
It's the guy who stretches before a fight.
Yes.
Like, if you're getting ready to get into it with someone and he just puts his fists up, it's like, all right, I'm okay. Yeah. But the guy that starts doing like toe touches and Frankenstein.
Or the guy that takes off the shirt, removes all the things,
takes
and is like, I'm going to.
Exactly.
Yeah, takes off the shoes.
Does
absolutely.
The Bruce Lee thing and starts stretching. And you're like, oh,
starts hopping around.
Gets into like, a crane pose.
Time to rethink this one. All right, boys. Sorry. You know what? My bad. I got a thing.
See him take a deep breath and center themselves right before. You're like, oh, God, I'm getting rocked here.
I'm gonna leave. I'm going to leave right now. He's got cauliflower ear. Like, yeah, no.
That's all the time we have for In the News on Monday, July 29th. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.